Hey everyone, it's the NSL Pod. Today we've got our hosts. We've got J-Mac. Welcome, J-Mac.
Hey Pete, how you going?
Good mate. It's Clem.
Yours truly, how are we?
The main man who's doing all of the pods this year, which is good.
I love it. I love it, man. Love to get it out.
And also Pistol PK. So we're going to be just doing a bit of a look into the NSL finals. It's pretty exciting. We've got our last two teams, and realistically, they're the best two teams in the league. So it was only kind of expected. Well, you don't want to be expecting it, but they certainly have proven their worth by.
Was there any of a doubt? You know, like it's top two conference teams. So
I won't deny I did put a bit of doubt in people, but I didn't expect to get that doubt squashed so easily. it's all good. All right, so realistically, if we have a look at it, we've got Portland. They were 66-16 for the year, and they've gone 12-3 through the playoffs, so it's pretty phenomenal. And then you got Chicago, who were 63-19, so not too far off. Same deal, but even maybe more dominant during the playoffs. But that's a question of whether that's East versus West, or having a 12-0 run is pretty impressive. But the stats I want to mention before we actually go on their path to the finals is like this. If you have a look at the way that they've dominated, so these stats are for all the teams that are in the playoffs. So you got obviously the whole 16 teams. And based on that, on averages, we've got points. We've got Portland as number one. Chicago as third. Rebounds, Portland second. Chicago third. Assists, Chicago first. Portland fourth. Then you got steals, second Chicago. Fifth for Portland. Blocks, Portland's right up there at third. And then you got this one that might surprise a fair few, three-pointers. And you've got Portland as fourth and Chicago fifth. What are your thoughts on that one, Clem?
The three-pointers is pretty surprising because all year J-Mac was sort of sitting, you know, sort of league average in terms of volume. Like percentage-wise, they were great, but they just weren't a massive three-point shooting team, which... yeah, granted they played pretty big all year, but they did have sort of stretches where they played you know Gay at the four and whatnot. So that's they've just added another weapon to you know, they're already elite offense. So I got a good taste of that in our series, and yeah, I mean he just really sort of killed me from all over, you know, all walks of the offense. So that's the one surprising thing. All the others, you know, you know, they're two of the top offenses in the league. Like you expect them up there with points, assists, everything else. So, yeah, it's no surprise that both of them are sort of top five in pretty much all the major stats.
Well, which one stands out to you, Joel? Which one do you reckon? Is there any one stat that kind of...
Out of the aforementioned stats for both teams, I've noticed with, I suppose, finally having some sort of capability for me to actually test some things out. And I noticed my team have so many guys who seem to set themselves up. So yeah. I'm surprised we're even that high in assists, to be honest, because after going mad with the Mavericks series and seeing them routinely get 35 assists, it was less of a reflection of dominance of playmaking and more the fact that that's a team that runs a play. Whoever has the ball passes it to the curler or the shooter or whatever, and that shooter makes the shot, as opposed to someone scoring unassisted. So I'm surprised I'm even up fourth. I suppose when you're high scoring, you're going to have more chances at assists, but I'm surprised I was even that high.
The other thing that's massive as well is like they, if you look at the regular season stats, they were 20, Portland being, were 26 in three throws. And In the playoffs, from like last time I checked, I think they were top five, obviously. But yeah, they're sitting fifth. So you know, they've addressed their one weakness and then just taken it and run with it. So like, yeah, you know, when you take your one of very few flaws and you're able to just excel in that area, like it's, you really can't do much about it. You know, like against, well, you know, against us, like you guys are averaging 120, 22 points or something like that, which is, you know, well above sort of the average, you know, regular season. And that's against, you know, we were the sort of 6th, 7th best team in the league, and then probably sort of amped that up in the playoffs. And to do that against us, like, that was, yeah, that was amazing, really, to be honest. So,
well, Pete can attest for this, because he tends to be the unfortunate ear that cops some of my whining in my eye sometimes, and I don't don't expect the message back, but I haven't understood all year why teams with elite free throw guys, we just never got free throws. And I don't know if that's because we shot jump shots a lot of the time, never got free throws. And look, we didn't really need it during the regular season, but I agree with what you said, Clem. That is something that when it grinds down in the playoffs, like that free throw count to get it up as high as it's huge. Biggest difference.
That's what got you over the line with that last game. You know, I dropped 130 and still lost, which is fucking ludicrous. You know, like, and it was like, you know, and we during the regular season, we were 2nd behind Lakers in free throws, and it was like 16 attempts to like 28 or something. You know, like, and on your home court, sure, but like that's a 20 attempts like difference. You know, like, so that was a game right there. Like, and I couldn't really combat that, to be honest. So.
Yeah, the free throws were crazy against Kings. I couldn't believe every game we were getting upwards of the high 20s attempts each game. And when you've got guys who can actually shoot them really well, it's, as you said, that games won and lost there. A lot of the time, even throughout the regular season, a lot of games you kind of scan across the statistics to see where was it won and lost. And you'll see one team has like 12 attempts and the other team has 30. And you're just like, well, that's it. That's why that team's won.
Yeah, I won't deny my standard response was to get over it, because you were
I need it.
Because you were killing everyone, and I had worse free throw percentage than you. So it's like, if I could work it out, I'd give you the trick. I couldn't work it out all year.
I don't need a soft shoulder to cry on. I need someone to just say, get a grip, mate. Shut up.
Yeah, that's where you come to Clem for.
No, it was pretty funny. But yes, it is. I didn't even notice that start. That's amazing. It's a good catch.
What, Pistol, what do you think about the Bulls? What surprises you the most in terms of a statistic in the positive or the negative for the Bulls, if you've got one?
I won't deny, I tried to stop their three-pointers, but it didn't work. So that was,
well, because it's so dangerous in the paint, you know, like, you can't, you know, you stop one and it just opens it up for their other fucking, you know, like whatever they're elite in being points in the paint. Like, I'm pretty sure they were up there in points in the paint. You try and stop their three pointers, like, I'm not jealous whatsoever in terms of you guys having to face the the Bulls, because you take away one thing, and very much like the Portland, you know, I was trying to take away one thing and they just smash you and everything else. It was fucked.
I guess my biggest surprise is not seeing Chicago in the top 5 in blocks.
Yeah, that is strange. Do you think that's a product of a lot of their wins, like, not being that gritty? It's kind of getting tired in the fourth quarter, and maybe there's a chance for more broken down plays and blocks because they've had such an easy run through the East, or relatively easy run.
Because they don't defend. I think they just kill everyone.
Yeah, they don't defend on the perimeter. I think when you got such a versatile defensive player in AD, who's so quick and able to sort of, his reaction time's high. He's able to sort of, he's so good on help D and everything. Like, you know, not a lot, I would imagine. And I haven't watched a lot of Chicago's sort of, ball during the year, but I would imagine that a lot of their sort of interior defense is just, altering the shot of the ball. Like, it's not sort of met at the rim, you know, like, so I would just think they're so athletic and they're so, it's not so much that they're sort of, you know, meeting so many guys at the rim and just sort of up there with blocks. Like, they're just able to just sort of just shut it down way before that it gets to that point, you know, maybe. Like, it's just a theory. Like, I don't know.
I was only stirring. They've got a very good defense. They were they get a lot of steals. They're actually 2nd in steals. So they were very, very dominant in the inboard passes, you know, knocked off and intercepted a lot.
Yeah, right. No, that makes sense, I guess.
if we had a quick look at their kind of run. So they've obviously, like, we'll go through Portland, like Portland's in a sec, but going through their run, they had the 76ers, who they did go through with a bit of form, but week 14 or week 15 destroyed their team by getting rid of Harrison Barnes. Like, even though he's not he's not rated the greatest, but he's
scoring. They needed scoring. That's what they need in this series, and they didn't have that with Barnes. Like, you know, yeah, but he's inefficient, but he can score the ball. You know, like, he can score the basket. You know, so.
Well, Harrison Barnes was actually the highest scorer off the bench.
Yeah, well, and he was a killer for the Dubs. Yeah, and he's the reason why they sort of gave the Suns so much issues. You know, and it wasn't so such a one dimensional offense. Like, if they had Barnes, you know, like. They wouldn't have won, but they wouldn't have got fucking dominated like they did. You know, like, it's, you know, with it being something like 20 some points, you know, difference in terms of the point differential, you know, like, so, yeah, a bit of a cakewalk there in the end, but it is what it is, I guess. It's the first round. What do you expect? You know?
Well, like, I think he concentrated way too much on Davis, though. I think, as I keep asking, it's like, if Davis is going to get his numbers anyway, why not stop Lou? Why not stop Randall?
Yeah. I mean, you have, like, people say that where they're like, oh, this guy's going to get his numbers, so I'll let him get his numbers. But you still can't really just let them have their numbers. Like, you've still got to, like, have a body on him, have someone on him that just doesn't let them go off for 40 and 20. You know, like, we sort of, you know, we saw that with, you know, obviously against you guys and against Washington where, you know, I sort of thought that Washington would sort of match up well against, you know, Chicago with Davis, but he just dominated. So, like, in the end, like, if you've got a guy averaging 40 and 20, then yeah, it's really just sort of a, you know, a walkover. But, you know, you've got to be able to limit the guy, and then you've also got to be able to take away maybe their second or maybe their third best option sort of thing. So, but yeah, easier said than done, I guess, with a guy like Davis. But yeah,
I feel like in general though with Philly, like, they got off to such a poor start and they were kind of just retooling the whole year, and yes, they finished high enough to make the playoffs, but they've sort of just starting to find their identity kind of when the trade deadline was kind of made, and they were great for his finances going forward. But I just feel, yeah, they were just cannon fodder in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because he just really had only started making an imprint on his team in that sort of last third of a season or half of a season.
Agreed. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's only, yeah, so many moving pieces. And you know, credit to Ben, because I sort of was like, oh, what is he? Like, at the start, I was like, oh, he's just throwing a season away. And then, you know, made a few trades. I think they got BG, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And then he traded him off. I'm like, yeah, good. That's a positive. And then, and then he got some sort of nice pieces. And then going forward, they're sort of doing it right. But, yeah, it's like you said, J-Mac, it's sort of caught the team in a sort of a midst of finding out who they are. And they'll be back better than ever, but, you know, Chicago rolled over and on to the next sort of thing. So,
and I think Ben even eloquently put it in one of his articles, was that we were good enough to be in the playoffs, but not good enough to be in the playoffs, or something like that. It was a turn of phrase, yeah. And to pretty much say that, look, we were trying, but, I mean, we're making up numbers.
I'm pretty sure his phrases included him really, you know, being playoff fodder and being the, you know, being the shit on people's so boots and stuff and stuff.
Yeah, I know. When he's high, he's high. When he's low, he's low, man. Like, it's.
I mean, I think that's for a 37-win team in the playoffs. I think that's fairly reasonable.
Do we even fucking get there? Yeah, do we even fucking get there? I was surprised, and I was like, good on him. Like, I wouldn't have picked any other sort of East team on that bubble to sort of be in there, even though, like, despite sort of how they performed, like, against Chicago of all teams, you know, like. You know, what other team would you put over? Because, you know, the on paper, you're sort of like, oh, well, maybe these guys will be a bit frisky. Like, they weren't in the end. Like, the classier team sort of, you know, showed out. But, you know, good on him, you know, for actually fucking sticking to it and you know, just wanting to get that sort of taste of playoffs. And then you know, you look at his team going forward, like, they're going to be good. So,
yeah. It needs to mean something, even to just make the playoffs and, yeah, have that first experience. Like, it has to be the most highly valued aspect of a league for winning to truly matter. So it's great to see people who were trying to fight to get in despite having very slim to none chance of sort of having an impact.
Yeah, 100%. And then so, you know, second round they go to the Heat, and I guess you can take over for this one, Pete, because you'll offer some keen insight on this one. How'd that one go for you?
I don't remember.
You're blacked out. it's all just a faded memory.
I read the review on it, and I've gone, I remember that.
Yeah, just suppress those memories.
Go through it. Like, I tried something different in every game. I won't deny, I thought I had a really good matchup for Lou. I thought Ben Simmons had slowed him down. It didn't. And it was, maybe he slowed him one game, but I just, he was just too good. Like, Davis dominated every fourth quarter. Like, the third quarter was the worst. It's like, man, if I'm not up, I'm screwed either way.
Yeah, look, you played him well for, it'd be always a good game for three out of the four quarters. And then obviously, like, the good team just pulls away. And I noticed that with myself, with Paul and J-Mac. So, I mean, CJ was a killer for you guys. It made me so jealous about, did I make the right choice? Whether CJ ever bled, looking at the stats now, I mean, AD had a killer series, and obviously Lou Will just dominated, 21 points, nearly 6 assists sort of thing.
I was pretty excited with Bamba. That's realistically my excitement.
Oh, that was sweet, man. I love seeing that. Like, that's that, and like you said, like, you try different things. Typical Pete, just trying different things, and like there was a few sort of curveballs you threw at him, which sort of gave him a bit of troubles here and there. And much like, to a higher extent, much like we sort of say, we just sort of, went on with Pete, Ben and the Sixers, you see with, yourself and your team. I mean, obviously, Isaac, it would have been great. I don't know if it would have really changed the eventual outcome, but I think, him against AD would have given you a lot more flexibility and sort of, moving Bamba to the bench would have been great, because that's where he's been great all year, off the bench. Looking at his stats, 8 points, 9 rebounds, but 4.5 blocks, 2.5 steals. Like, that's crazy numbers, man. Like, for Bamba, this. Yeah.
Do you know what? He actually might have won the Defensive Player of the Year this year if I had left him starting.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I'm not joking. He actually was leading the league for the first 8 weeks in blocks.
I know. Don't have to tell me, man. I'm all over it. So, if it's much the same, if I kept Boban in starting, he would have been up there as well. But no. It's completely different. he was great for that series.
It's all good. Like, we move on, and yes, we're young, so I didn't expect to compete this year, and kind of got my hopes up at one stage, but it's
you made the right move that you'd make 100 times out of 100 with CJ. He's now there for a few years. You've got your second banana behind Simmons, and then you've just got like absolute elite front court, and just fill in the blanks with whoever you want in the wing, which is so easy to fill these days. So I'm really keen to see how you guys are going.
Isaac is like, if I had one player I'd change team for, it'd almost be Isaac. I'm so excited.
Look, when I say wing, I'm saying, Carol, like those sort of role players. Isaac, we know full well he's part of the core. Like, we don't have to mention his name as if he's a throw-in. We know what's going on. So
I'm just saying, it's just one of those things. And Rootsy loves him, and I know a fair few other people love him. It's just, I can't wait to see what he can be.
Yeah, 100%, man. He's already rated so well in 2K. Then as soon as sort of all the badges and everything sort of catches up with him, like, man, that's going to be something special. Can't wait to see that. So
it's all good. I won't stay on my team much longer. Let's move on to the Wizards, who they were like a Cinderella. How did they beat the Raptors? Not only did they beat the Raptors, they beat
fucking
the Raptors.
Jesse's trash. Yeah, that's why.
Low blow.
He even upgraded his TV during the series.
Yeah, just see himself get slaughtered in the second round. That's what. But nah. Washington, Look, I think Chicago still would have rolled Raptors 4-0 as well, regardless. I thought Wizards maybe would have stole one game. I really liked, like I was saying, really liked sort of Clark and Capella. Capella maybe a bit too slow for AD, but Clark I really sort of like in terms of an athletic young body on AD. He did fuck all, to be honest. So
pretty ugly looking in 2K. I should have really went and got his skin.
Really?
Yeah. He looks horrible. Right. I think for Wizards fans, what you'd take away from that is how good the raw 2K DNA is of their players and their players together. Yeah. Like, they've all got growth in terms of ratings, like upside, like Capella is what he is, but look, Clark, some people think Harris can get better. Clark was great as a rookie. Booker's going to get better. Ball's going to get better. And it just showed they had the raw 2K traits and DNA to just be a super team.
Like they nabbed Knox for fuck all from Leroy.
Yeah.
And then he's already just like 2K wise, just genetically like a beast 2K wise. So if he sees any sort of just increase in terms of like, he's still super young and like being a Knicks fan, like, like Knox could in a few years, like, he's 23, 24, 25 in a few years, like could still be decent, like, so, if they keep a hold of him and then have him off the bench, like you said, J-Mac, like it's just, they've just got so many 2K friendly guys. And Ball and Booker is just like a perfect pairing. Harris's ceiling is pretty much 2015 Harris on the Denver Nuggets. Like it's, but he could still get back there, and just sort of see a slight tweak in his sort of numbers, but he'll still be just that sort of typical, like, your Prince, your Carroll, your Danny Green type, like really solid wing role player who doesn't take away from your star players. So that's what you want, And then, Monte Morris off the bench, like he didn't really see much time in this series, but he's going to be, he's going to be solid. So they're really sort of up and coming, like with Capella sort of, dominating the way he had, all sort of playoffs. Like, that's a team to watch sort of thing. Like they've been playing possum all year and just sort of half in, half out. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we'll fucking try now. So like, it was awesome to see that kind of, low seed, that narrative of being the low seed sort of getting all the way to the conference finals. And, that's what I love about this league sort of thing. Like it's full of surprises. So,
Yeah. And good to see Josh, who was fairly blasé the whole year, actually really care when the playoffs rolled around, like even for a team whose window wasn't yet, if you spoke to him, really did want to do his absolute best when he was in the playoffs. And that was
of course.
Competition.
Yeah, that's it.
And on the flip side of that, sorry, one last thing. The flip side of that is when the Wizards team was playing that well and the Bulls still pulled out every game and came back 25 points in one game and everything and just showed how ridiculously good the team was just a huge announcement, I suppose, to anyone who thought they, had it easy in the other series, that they're actually just a really bloody good team.
Yeah, that's what I loved about it, because it was like, the Wizards are humming. They were as good as any Eastern team coming through. Like, we covered, they had the sort of bit of a gimme with, Ben and the Sixers. Had Pete the Wizard, in the second round. Like, he was trying some things here. Had the out in Isaac, but was probably just a really bad matchup in the end. So I'm not going to sort of read into that too much. But then, it comes up against the Wizards who smash Jesse in the end. It was a 7-game series, but like he still got over Jesse in the end, and Jesse, they were killing it. Like Dame was killing it in the last sort of third of the year. So, I'm glad that they didn't just have another fucking lollipop, to them where they just knocked it out of the park and it's like, oh well, fuck, we don't even know what the Chicago Bulls are, sort of thing. So it's like you said, just further testament to how good they are, and we're in for a bar burner of a final series. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you look at the stats. It's Davis and Lou, obviously. D. Russ, he's done bits and pieces. And then their two off the bench have been phenomenal. Gordon and Randall have been quality. But it's the whole team's been getting stats. So you stop Davis, and the rest of the team seems to pick up.
Well, against Wizards as well, like JaVale McGee, like underrated glitch, you know, like 9 points, nearly, or well, 12 and a bit rebounds, you know, 3.8 steals, 1.5 blocks. So, like, that just allows Davis to just slide down to the floor and just completely dominate. Like, if they didn't have JaVale, then, like, I think that just would be really, not really one-dimensional, but they would just be a lot more predictable. Like, you could sort of, you know, and no matter how good a player is, if you're playing them at the five, they're going to be limited in one facet or not. So, you know, if they were primarily playing AD at the five, I just don't think they would have gotten there or been as potent, you know, through the playoffs. So having JaVale has been really big, even more so over sort of, you know, Lou Will. Like, the second option. But if Lou Will wasn't there, like, you'd think, you know, D'Angelo Russell would have picked up those shots, or they would have had any of the other guys sort of pick up that. So, yeah, JaVale's been huge for them as well.
How did he get to the eighth round? That's what I don't get. How come none of you guys picked him up?
I didn't even see him. I can't even remember seeing him in the draft, and that's the
I was watching him. Yeah, I just missed out. I was eyeing off DJ, and I was eyeing off JaVale, and I think. I maybe missed out on him and then went Rose as my secondary sort of playmaker, or I think I was a little bit too high and went Caleb above them or something like that. Yeah, like, so yeah, but I was pretty devastated because I got Whiteside in the end, but fucking, you know, Whiteside is just you know, in the end, isn't really sort of key to the type of teams that I like to sort of play with pace and space sort of thing. Like, he's a bit slow, so you know, to have like a DJ or JaVale that was sort of primary, and yeah, I don't know how I missed that, but yeah.
Well, I went high with those two. That's what I'm saying. I got Bamber and DJ. I was out at the fifth round, so I couldn't at least.
Yeah.
I was just couldn't believe that McGee went so low.
I had Nurkic and Deadman already, and that's gonna be the only thing I can justify. For not taking him, and he's like a ridiculously good 2K center.
Yeah, and anyone that's played, like, yeah, any of us NLR guys would like know that. So, like, you know, fucking,
we
yeah,
all remember
Marencio
Ben just, going in big.
I remember him coming off waivers because he signed with like Golden State or some shit. It was unsigned or whatever, and then Benny just put like 90 points on him or something like that.
Yeah,
and then fucking just, yeah, that just elevated his team completely, and I was just like, fuck, like, I think I lost like 50 points on that, so whatever. But
Ben sends me a message. He didn't it to you. He obviously sends to me. You're not going in big on him, right? Because obviously he was worried that I was gonna pip him.
100%.
But anyway, yeah, we should go over to the other side of the draw, and we've got the star of the show actually on the pod, yeah. So that's a bonus.
The man himself.
Yeah, he got me before my bedtime.
the Maverick series was very amusing for me actually. I actually found it like
me too.
The amount of stress that J-Mac kind of was going through was actually kind of gave me a fair laugh.
That's, I can laugh about it now because it's sort of changed my attitude for the rest of the playoffs, but I was losing my mind when you asked me some questions. I'll give you honest answers, but yeah, I was losing it.
I know you were. That's what the best part was. Everyone going, yeah, eventually they'll get through. It would have been pretty crazy if you didn't, but it's like, yeah.
Well, I know legitimately that you were like, it wasn't just like, oh, he's got a few games over me. Like you legitimately couldn't figure it out, you know, like, and it was it's, and I was sitting there going like I'm like talking all this smack in these pods like, yep, the only way you get Portland is fucking have a good you know, front court, like, oh, they're gonna have issues next series against the Spurs and everything, and yeah, just true J-Mac, just the savant figured it out. Yeah, maybe it was this sort of you know, laying a few sort of eggs, like, oh, I'm struggling so bad, and just lay the smack down. I don't know. But, like, I put in that
it
one
honestly
of my first
wasn't.
Pods. I know,
yeah,
I
no,
know, man. I'm giving you shit. I know you were legitimately fucking like, fuck, I don't know what I'm going to do with this sort of thing. But I'm pretty sure in one of my initial pods, I'm like, yeah, look, I think J-Man's going to figure it out. He's going to put the foot down and then just – stick with what works, and then he's going to win the next. Yeah, and then he's going to win in six, which is what you did. So yeah, I think you were sort of, I think you sort of cruised into that thinking like, oh, Jarvie's a ghost. Like, I'll just be able to try out a few things that I might want to use like later on. Sort of realize like, no, I can't sort of fuck around because I do have Zinger, who's you know, like he is a top 10 guy, you know, sort of thing. So and will be for fucking some time. So, you know, kudos. He's gonna have fucking Durant next year, getting over him in the end. So I was like, yeah, fair enough. And then on to the second round. So yeah.
Well, just with the Mavs, it was just like you can prepare, and that's the great thing about sport and competition is you can prepare as much as you want, and you can have like the greatest track record in the world and do all the research and everything, but that's why they play the games. And just for the first four games, two games, we were absolute shit and I couldn't figure out why.
Yeah.
And we were just fortunate enough to figure it out like games five and six and close the series. But I wasn't confident at all in that Mavericks series because it was just, they made us play just totally dumb. And I couldn't figure out why, but we'd just leave every shooter open. And Porzingis, like, just takes off from the three-point line and, like, gets fouled every single time going for a dunk.
I was watching some of that. I was like, this unbelievable. Is ridiculous. Yeah, I was raging just for you. You know? Like, and I had no fucking stake in that game whatsoever. You know, and I was just like, this is fucking ridiculous.
How funny was LJ as well? It's like, oh, I'm not even trying.
Fucking kicked me off.
The fishing line was
I know, man.
Nah, he added some fuel, and I know we all, like, we talk pretty regularly during the season, just trade barbs and everything. But yeah, when he was going on about that, I was just like, yeah, enough. Some of us actually care, even if you don't. But I think it was a way for him to just downplay his nerves and also
be entertaining as well. Yeah. Like no one is in this game to just fuck off, you know, and just do fucking whatever, you know what I mean? Like no matter how, like, you know, everyone just sort of reacts like in their own way, sort of thing. You wouldn't invest any sort of time in this kind of shit whatsoever if all you gave a shit about was just like, maybe I'll make it, maybe I don't, who cares? Like fuck off, you know, sort of thing. Like, so yeah, it's in the moment. It's hard to not get wrapped up in that and get all sort of frustrated because you're just like, fuck.
And I guess before we move on to Spurs or whatever's next, is just, I guess, along with the humility.
That's right. Yeah,
along with the humility that came with struggling against the Mavericks, I was really happy to see that I could. Like, Murray was a lot more effective than I thought he was. Like, I traded for him with the future in mind and just so I could, like, condense an asset into a greater asset. And he was kind of the catalyst that destroyed my chemistry and sort of sent me on a trade rampage. Yeah. But it was so good to see how how calm he is, and he just makes really smart plays. And it wasn't him doing stupid shit. It was a lot of the other guys, and he just gets open in the right spots and he makes the right passes, and he's got me thinking he's the guy I should just be holding on to and not dangling his trade bait, which was what I was going to do.
Yeah. I mean, we all, when you made that trade, I was like, oh, he's going to make, like, I knew fucking farewell that he's going to make your team better, but like, it's sort of like, oh, maybe he's going to break the chemistry. Maybe, you know, like, you're just like, fuck, like, you're getting the fucking 84 rated guy who's 23. Like, you know, fuck you. it's nothing but a positive. So, like, yeah, I had to game plan against him being like coming off the bench because I'm like, fuck, if I don't, then it's curtains, you know, sort of thing. It was curtains anyway, but like, it's, yeah, like, it's just another weapon sort of thing. So, that was good to see. It's good to see.
Now, before the final statement for Dallas, so, is they'll be championship favourites next year. So,
oh, fuck, no shit, yeah.
they're, this year was a stepping stone. They obviously picked up Obrey really late, and obviously KD and Zinger together is going to be phenomenal.
Oh man, I mentioned KD, like, that's the best duo in the league. Like, show me a better duo. Like, that's,
but with, like, that KD size, even a guy like Van Vliet, who's a shoot first point guard, is like a perfect fit. Like, if they can hold on to a guy like that, because he won't need to be a playmaker. He will just be that spot up guy.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Like, imagine, fuck me. Imagine like KD at point, like Freddie playing off the ball. You got Oubre, you got Zinger, and you got fucking name another center who's like reasonably athletic. Like, that's ridiculous, man. Like, I can't, yeah, like, fucking Gavin. Like, what are you doing, Gavin? Like, you fucking idiot. But, no, but yeah, like that's gonna be next year's problem. But yeah, moving on, we got the Spurs, huh?
We should talk about the Spurs, and we'll talk about the random ass moves that Portland made to try to pretty much put Jezza Nelson off his game.
Man, that was genius. That was genius.
Yeah, I mean, ask away if you want to know. Ask the question.
Right, yeah. Here we go. Fuck, I don't know, man. What made, like, oh, look, I already know, but you can tell everyone, like, what made you sort of make the move for, or see what, you know, JJ was strong in, and then decide, look, I'm going to put Harden, even though I know at the four, Harden's not going to be, like, the strongest at that position. I'm going to put Harden at the four, and I'm going to see that winning me games. Like, what made you make that decision?
Well, all right, so part actual 2K, and testing, and part sort of art of war mentality type stuff, was that the Spurs were just this really well-oiled machine, and they were kind of like the Spurs in the real NBA, and it's sort of system-based, and each game would look exactly the same as the one before, and the spread of scoring and distribution was always the same, and that's not really how my team played, and we just did not match up well with it at all, and Towns would... No matter what we were trying, like, Towns just destroyed Howard, destroyed Cauley Stein. And harking back to talking about letting particular guys get their numbers or whatever, I just started to think, well, shit, I can't match up with him in a way that diminishes his best player. So why don't I make his best player be really uncomfortable? And... that was the only mentality that I had, and all I did in the first sim that I practiced was put Harden at power forward, and the Spurs absolutely went to shit, and I just could not believe what had happened. It was instant, and I didn't expect it to work. It was just a desperation move, but I like that the thought process was validated by 2K, that I had a great team and he had to figure out how to match up against me. It was a chess move.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sort of like, I guess what I thought. I mean, you know, there was sort of a bit of back and forth between me and JJ and JJ and others. And obviously he let slide that, you know, he obviously, oh, it's, you know, it does take a genius to see that his team plays a lot through cap, but he was, I think his settings were geared to pretty much funnel all their offense through Cat, which is a smart thing to do. When you got guys like, you know, Brog, Beal, decent, you know, role players, TJ Warren, everything, like, you know, why wouldn't you feed everything through Cat? But at the same time, if your whole offense runs through Cat, then, you know, if you're going to make a move where you drag Cat out of the, you know, out of the paint and also just fatigue him in a way that he's not as, you know, effective on the offense, then... Yeah, that's a win, and obviously that was the case. And you've got so many weapons that you can afford to do that. And even then, like, Harden was still running most of the offense anyway, and was, I think he was like the lead assist getter as well, like during that series, like playing at the four. So go on.
So it was going to disrupt him in a number of ways. He was either going to accept that Harden was the power forward and he'll play Towns on him and Towns will be dragged out, but Towns will still get some blocks on Harden inside and Harden might get some steals on Towns, or he creates a defensive matchup where he's got a guard playing on Harden like he's a big man. So yeah. Harden is really actually crafty inside when he's not getting blocked by big guys. So it was a disruption no matter what way he went, and that's all good in theory, but for some reason, 2K just backed me up 100%, and his team just played dumb. Like, I actually empathize with Jez, because, like, no matter what changes he made, it's like we just broke their DNA, and he couldn't recover. Like, no matter what changes he made, and yes, they're not an overly versatile team, but they're better than getting blown out in four games.
I think that was their one sort of glaring weakness, is they were a very traditional team, and you know, they like their option to play sort of a small ball top lineup means that they're sending Adam to the bench, who's been massive for them defensively. And then what are they playing at the four? TJ Warren, like Crowder, yeah. Like they go small, and then from five downwards, they're really small, you know. So it's not even like they have like a large wing to sort of play at the four, or the three, you know, sort of thing. So yeah, I think it was a smart move in the end, obviously like their whole sort of offense just sort of crumpled, and you know, with all your weapons, you were able to get over them pretty easily in the end. So.
Well, yeah, I'd actually never seen us so good from the get-go. Like, all through the season, we were kind of like a slow starting team, and we would just recover and burn people in the latter quarters. But, like, the poor Spurs didn't have a chance. It was just, yeah, we ripped them apart every game.
Poor JJ.
Poor JJ.
Oh, shit. But yeah, and then the next series, I'm going to take a bit of a backseat on this one, I guess. So yeah,
nah,
go ahead, J-Mac, the floor is yours.
Well, Pistol, I'll hand it back to the host. If you think we've done the Spurs series justice, I mean, what's next?
I think you've done okay. I don't need to go into myself. We should really talk about your series, I guess. And it ended up being a bit. Well, it didn't seem one-sided, but a 4-1 kind of feels like it maybe was.
Well, maybe, Clem, you've actually, I suppose, you've got the two GMs who were in that series, so you could hear a little bit from both of us. But I felt Clem had quite a strong sense of confidence in his team, how they were playing, and so he should. Like, the way he had them playing at the playoffs was amazing around LeBron. And even though Clem was kind of saying, oh, no, I'm just happy to be here, like, I sensed that he really thought they had a chance in this one. And I totally agree with him. So maybe start with Clem.
I was playing coy. I 100% was pretty confident that I could beat you. Just because I thought that, I don't know, I saw things in the regular season that fared me pretty well in terms of matchup wise, and I knew that there would be no advantage whatsoever in the front court in terms of yourself, and that defensively, like, maybe I could sort of mitigate how good you were in the paint, and then maybe turn you into a sort of jump shooting team, and just with the changes I made with having guys like, you know, obviously LeBron, PJ, you know, KCP, Wes Matthews, like name your fucking elite perimeter defender. I just sort of thought that I could sort of, at least take out one of your sort of out of Gay, Kawhi, Harden sort of thing, which I took Harden out, but that wasn't enough. So, and then, you know, putting LeBron on Kawhi didn't really fucking make any difference whatsoever. And Gay was just so good at the four. Like, the major problem for me was that my best lineup, obviously being LeBron, Bled, either KCP or PJ, even though I didn't sort of start PJ during this season, this series, but I felt KCP's speed and shooting was probably more suited for what I was trying to do. Ibaka and Noel.
Can you guys hear me?
You're here. You're here.
Finally, I want to jump in. I wanted to jump in on this. I just wanted to say that the Rudy Gay is the most broken player ever.
He is, man. I'll break it down, and you'll get a chance to see you and J-Mac will get a chance to sort of break down how you guys see your series. But the major sort of issue for me was like where to hide Bledsoe, because it was either him on Harden or him on fucking like Kawhi. Like, that really wasn't an option. So that was a major issue for me. So I was trying to sim all series just to try and find something that's maybe saw a bit more defense out there on the perimeter, but I just couldn't really make it work because I was just losing too much offense. And Bledsoe was actually really, like, he was probably he was the best against Portland out of all series this playoffs. He averaged 22 points, 8 assists, I think, and was pretty reasonably efficient. So that was my best lineup throwing it out, and that's why I didn't make any changes, because I just felt, if I'm dropping 100, close to 120 points a game or whatever it was, and I'm still getting beaten, like I can't really sort of match that. So, Portland were just, yes, I was humming, but Portland was just on another level. And I really didn't have any sort of answer for, their small ball, as well. So yeah, look, I made the slight change in bringing TJ Leaf off the bench more so. Like, that was pretty much the major contributing factor for me winning game 4. And he was great. I think my regrets are probably playing Bogdanović too many minutes early on. I should have played him more limited minutes and had a sort of more 3-and-D guy out there in terms of Wes. And maybe I should have just seen how things gone with PJ starting over KCP, and maybe have a KCP sort of ding up against Murray. But look, PJ did a pretty good job on Murray coming off the bench. But in the end, I don't think I could have. Maybe I could have taken to 6. I don't think I would have won in the end. But yeah, kudos to J Mac, because he really took it out. And we'll see how he goes in the next round, I guess. What do you see, J Mac?
I know as soon as we got through the Spurs series, I tried hard in at power forward and it was a disaster. So it was back to the drawing board, and I then just thought about how can I maximize my strengths against your lineup, and you are really balanced and tall and athletic, and it was honestly just like get my best players out there and
that's what I thought.
Figure out what works, and eventually found this balance where like Rudy, Harden, and Kawhi sort of just take turns carrying the load.
And I knew if you could figure out how to get Gay out there and be beneficial and not take away from your two guys, I knew if you could do that, then I'd be done. So you did that. Yeah. That's why.
Well, I've never seen
a spread. A little bit important alignment, right? That's what Clem called it.
Well, I've never seen a spread so evenly. Like I think Harden might have averaged 25. And Kawhi and Rudy averaged 24 each, and it was just like the open guy was just the guy getting the ball, and it's a testament to Kings. Like, we had to play really, really, really well. Like, there weren't any bad games that we won because they were just a really, really good team, and it probably deserved to go a bit longer that series, really, and we were just fortunate to close it in 5 games.
No, it was a good season, and you can look at the stats, it's very balanced. And yes, Rudy, it's getting 23.2 points a game. It's pretty phenomenal.
Well, they had 3 guys and 20 points, averaging 20-plus points. It's crazy, man.
Anyway, we should really talk more to Maurizio. How you doing, bud?
I'm okay, man. I'm okay. Early morning here. Getting ready for work. But I thought NSL Radio would be great to jump in, so I'm happy to be here and happy to talk basketball with you guys.
Well, we actually went through every one of your series, and we really just talked about every other team because we didn't need to talk about Chicago. That was the one-way train.
Well, man, I think we are in a pretty good role. 12-0 is not something to laugh about, so for us, it's... we're really happy with the season that we've had. And AD, what can I say,
He's something guy special, is
just
isn't
a beast. Yeah, he helps us in a lot of ways, and he covers up for a lot of the mistakes that we do. Even when we get down, sometimes I don't feel like we could come back in games. And to me, the most impressive win of the season for us was one of the last games of the regular season. We're down like 30 to Atlanta. Oh, and Atlanta is a pretty good team, and then we came back. So after that, I mean, you can come back and win against any team pretty much.
You ripped out Ben's heart with that one.
Yeah, man, that one was a killer for us, because I thought, man, I stopped watching the game because there was no point, But I just wanted to congratulate J Mac for officially here on getting to the NSL Finals. It would be a pleasure to match up against him. Also, for his guys to average like 20 points a game, maybe three guys averaging 20 points a game. That's kind of like unheard of in 2K. And it's really difficult to do that in games, because 2K usually compensates for the star closer to the star, on their star's level. So usually Harden will get 40 and the star would get 40 and the other guys would get maybe one guy gets 20 and stuff like that. So to have that evenly matched scoring, it's something really dangerous, and we have our work cut out for us.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. Yeah, with any sort of team or any sort of settings, like there'd be plenty of teams over the years that would have loved to be able to like spread their offense like that across sort of three superstars, and yeah, J-Mac's been able to manage it. So
kind words, Maurizio, but yeah, I know you're a very smooth operator, and we're very aware of how good the Bulls are. So we're ready, but it's a privilege to be
mind
here.
Games, mind games.
Yeah. No, thank you for your kind words. It's a privilege to be in the finals, and yeah, congratulations to you too.
I also wanted to touch on you said Harden at PF was a mistake, was a disaster. Didn't you like sweep the Spurs? Oh, was it a disaster then?
No, that was just not a disaster versus Spurs, but it didn't work at all against the Kings that I could figure out.
I wish you played
Okay.
that against us.
Depends. Okay.
Nah, he doesn't. I'd love to have had Harden at power forward against me too.
I would have ate that up for breakfast.
Exactly. Nah, it's all good. Have you watched it? What, Maurizio? Tell like we, what like you've had all those series. Obviously, you played the 76ers, the Wizards, and the Heat, and you've come through. And yes, you've had a. Yeah. None of them have been too many. You haven't had too many big wins. Do you think that's kind of put you in good stead, or do you think because you haven't lost any games that maybe you haven't tried the kind of stuff you normally would have?
I was my strategy would be like I'm not gonna mess with anything until we lose. We just ended up never losing, So I didn't really mess with anything on the site, as a GM, you have to do your due diligence, and try to expand your game. I feel like our lineups could be better, if we tweak here or there, but without giving it too much away. But I like where we are, and I probably will stick with the strategy. You have to beat us with the lineup that we have, and then we move. I don't think it put us at a disadvantage, we didn't have any blowouts, but I think defensively this lineup works really well for us. Against really good offensive teams, we could experience the our firepower, and also against good defensive teams, we kind of face the extremes, the spectrum in terms of Philadelphia was the best defensive team. So I kind of expected the scores to be lower. Then we had some blowouts in there. Then we faced you, which is a long ass team. We generates blocks and steals at the Wazoo. But then we faced the offensive juggernaut in the Washington Devin Booker's. Is that what it's called? Something like that.
Something like that,
Something like that. And then the guy just put up 30 points every game, and we still kind of managed to contain that. So that puts that gives me optimism to going forward. I don't really worry about blowing out people as long as the end result is the W. That's where I'm at.
I mean, how do you feel like sort of Mauricio when you see like a team like Portland who, if you're going off regular season sort of stats, like pretty much you were running second on all the major stats behind Portland being first.
Yeah,
Like, you
that
know,
bugs the hell out of me, by the
I know, like offense, defense,
way.
everything, but playoffs is a whole different beast. But how do you sort of see combating a sort of small ball lineup that possibly he might run against you? I don't know. Like it's. Yeah, that he maybe ran against myself. I mean, he averaged 120 something points against me, who's top 10 defense sort of thing. So like, How do you see your sort of traditionally big lineup with JaVale and AD in the front court? How do you see that sort of faring up?
A small ball lineup would certainly give us trouble, you know, because we have some big guys that our big guys can move, but not that quickly, you know. I think if he sticks up with Rudy Gay at the four, would be really a mismatch for us because the ball moves so well, and they always seem to find the open guy in the games that I've watched. And so it would definitely be a mismatch. He got us on the season split, I think, is 1-1. He won one, and I won the other one. Yeah, I think so. So, but his teams were like majorly different. You know, it's like facing Lattes or Clem. You can't really trust it, you know, because the next squad is going to be totally different and overhauled. That's kind of what it was. But then I think their main advantage for Portland is that they have more combinations of lineups that work over us. So in proven ways that they can win with different lineups. That is where I'm at in terms of trying to defend it. Since we have slower guys, we don't have that many options. And so that's why I think they're really but dangerous.
You've got
so with their small ball lineup.
You've got AD, so yeah.
And that's exactly. What I have on my card as an advantage. Yeah, yeah. Superstars, though, I only have one.
Well, that's exactly right. So Joel, you've realistically used power forward to your advantage the last two series. There's no way you put Harden or Gay on AD. Are you going to be a little bit more traditional with your lineup?
We have been trying a lineup that doesn't have Gay or Harden at the power forward, but I'm kind of sleeping on that tonight and I might take in that mentality that Maurizio just talked about how the team has been playing really well and why change something that has been working for us. But I mean, it's pretty naive to think that the Kings and their makeup is going to be the same as the Bulls. So we have been trying a few things. I genuinely haven't decided on who to run. And yeah, it has seen that power forward spot be really utilized. But what's underrated is actually that Willie Cauley-Stein can actually dominate in this Dennis Rodman, like glue guy type role at small forward, which has been a bit overlooked, I think, if the power forward glamour spot is getting all the points, but he's able to be quick enough and tall enough to switch on everything and take the big guys on defense. And he's just been amazing. I don't think
he killed me.
Yeah, I don't think we'd be here this deep without Willie Cauley-Stein, because he's allowed me to be versatile with all my lineups.
So you just got to make sure that Willie Cauley-Stein doesn't head to Vegas during the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what Willie's party habits are like in real life, but he's on a pretty tight schedule with the NSL Blazers. It's short leash.
That is actually the one of the cheesiest moves ever, you know, to put WCS as 100%. Yeah, it's effective.
It's cheese testing.
It depends what you define as cheese, because he's actually faster than the average small forward on each team. He's actually faster than them all. And if you watch him in real life, he's super quick.
Yeah, because he's a fucking cheese lord. That's why.
He's super quick, man. He's super quick for a center.
He's like 75 speed.
Yeah.
Or a 7-1 guy. And if you actually watch him in the NBA in previous seasons he played, he is super fast.
Yeah.
It is cheesy because it's not unwarranted,
you know, like it's not one of those guys where you're like, oh fuck off, he's got 70 something speed. Like he's actually like, it probably should be more, you know, like it's just
was 81. I drafted him out of when I was in Utah in NLL. I drafted WCS and the guy was 81 speed as a rookie.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So yeah, to answer that question, Pete, I actually don't know what I'm running tomorrow for game one, which is why I asked you today.
I can't wait.
Is it 12 p.m. deadline?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he does.
So just because I can't stay for too much longer, just while we've got Maurizio here, I just hearing him talk about the Blazers, we have no way to stop Davis, and the only way that we can really slow the Bulls down is to, one, play really well ourselves, but two, stop those quick, crafty shooting guards that they've got in D'Lo and Lou Williams.
And Eric Gordon.
And Eric Gordon, my apologies, Eric Gordon off the bench, from getting to the line and from getting off open three. So just to really try and stick to them and to smother them and not bail them out with stupid fouls. So it'll be interesting to see if we play smart or dumb versus the Bulls. My mind's not made up yet. Dumb versus the Mavs, smart versus the Spurs, smart versus the Kings, and TBD for the Bulls.
All right, we'll almost finish. We'll give one final statement to each person on what they think is the most important thing of this series. So, Clem, what are your thoughts on name one thing that you think could make the difference in this series?
I think they've got Kawhi. So they've got Kawhi to take out one, like, either, like, it's obviously going to be Lou Will. Lou was going to really struggle with Kawhi. Yeah, they're one of the few teams. You know, because you know, Chicago sort of faced the Wizards, and they had Lonzo Ball, who's a elite perimeter defensive guard, but he's a zero in offense. So like, you got like Kawhi, who's averaging 20 something points per game, who's able to stop, you know, their second option and also contribute on offense. That's going to be, you know, where J-Mac utilizes Kawhi is going to be the one sort of key that I think is going to be the key to the series. So
fair enough. What are your thoughts, Marenzo? What's your one thing do you think is going to swing the series? And I don't want you to give away secrets because I know you won't.
My thoughts are aligned with Clem. The move he did the last series to put Kawhi on LeBron really changed the series, and Kawhi at PG actually changed the course of the game. And I think that would be dangerous for us if he moved Kawhi to PG, because then it frees up the rest of the team because you stopped the ball handling and he stopped the distribution. So I think that would be one of the keys where he lines up Kawhi.
Fair enough. And J-Mac, what's your thoughts? What's the one thing that could swing this series, Jerry?
I think it's Davis. And look, I respect Lou Will and I respect D'Lo and JaVale. Like, it was the greatest pick of our inaugural draft. And Marencio's made an amazing team. But he got my points, spoiler alert, 5 votes for MVP because...
Yeah, same.
He's so good, and we actually have no way to stop him. And we just have to hope that we play better and maybe have more depth or maybe have more size in our guards or something like that. But it's just Davis. So if Davis plays incredibly well, Bulls likely win the series. And if our gameplay as a team can stifle the Bulls enough that Davis isn't maximized as well as he has been in previous series, then I think we go a long way to hopefully winning the series. So it's just two letters for me, AD.
Fair call. My view is, I was the Lou versus Kawhi, but I won't go there. I'll go another one. I'll go Rudy Gay versus Julius Randle. I think that'll be pretty important.
All right.
So I think that's the battle of the benches in my view, and it could swing either game.
That's assuming that Portland plays. That's assuming Portland plays
off the bench.
Off the bench, yeah. But
all I can do is predict the future. No, I've got no idea. Yeah, I just think I think Gay's he's got this wow factor, and I'm told he's my love child, so it's all part of the fun. I really appreciate everyone coming on board, and it's been fun. So
yeah,
thank
this
you.
Is great.
And good luck everyone in the series, and hopefully we have our first inaugural champion.
Well, we will.
So having me, guys, it's been a pleasure.